You can tell that everybody speaks Spanish already here, huh? I knew I saw her somewhere. She looks familiar. So, okay, yeah. So excited to be here. Hey, I wanted to say a happy Mother's Day to you guys too. And I brought a picture from my mom. She was a single mom. She raised eight children, alone. I remember when I was 6 years old and she was teaching me how to wash my own clothes. At 6 years old, and she was, look at me, this is how you do it. I was like, but she passed me values that, I treasure that today. So I wanted to mention that to you. Let's go to the text. I would like to, we're going to speak today about invite companionship. That will be our topic today. And I wanted to mention a little bit about a definition about shame that I wanted to show to you in my PowerPoint. Shame is revealing something inside you that for some reason becomes visible to others. The shame involves other people discovering a weakness you want to keep concealed so you do not have to face it or have hope to solve later. You know, for example, you can if you are struggling with a alcohol addiction, and you are driving under the influence of alcohol, then you got an accident, then you got to jail, you lost your job, you lost your wife, and a lot of issues going on. You're hoping that to solve that letter, to fix that letter. And then you experiment shame. Now, I wanted to speak about 1 Samuel chapter 18 today. I want to speak about that. Last week, Pastor Jim opened with 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 6 to 16. And today we're going to start with verse 1. If you have your Bible, would you please open your Bible? I want to encourage you to open the Bible today because I'm going to show you something in the Bible. We love the Bible, right? How many of you love the Bible? Come on. Yes, there you go. So we love the Bible, and we want to go into the text and investigate what God is saying. Something about, before entering to chapter 18, I want to read, I want to speak a little bit about Jonathan. Jonathan. So Jonathan was Saul's son, and that he was a warrior, soldier, like a macho man. He was like a, wow, what a man. And you can see that in 1 Samuel 13, 2, 16, 22, 14, and 1, and 23, and 14 to 1 to 23. So now, let me go a little bit about here, remembering about Saul, Jonathan, David, a pastor. Jim spoke about that. Let me go right back here with this one. In chapter 17, you can see, I don't want to read that, but I want you to read by yourself right there. I got to get my glasses right here. There you go. See, I need some help. In verse 57, 1 Samuel 17, it says like this. As soon as David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, with David still holding the Philistine heads. Now, that is the environment. That is what's happening. David was a warrior. Like a macho man, David. He showed that, who he believed in. He believed in the Almighty God. So they were experimenting, all of them, a lot of shame, a lot of pain happening between them. I want to read 1 Samuel. After David finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. Right there, you can see what was happening, and Saul was being rejected already by a nation because the insecurity that Saul has, he was behaving in a way that it was not like the king of Israel. It was a lot of insecurity. Jonathan rejected by his father because he was acting or behaving in a way. In chapter 13, 1 Samuel chapter 13 and 14, you can see about how Jonathan was behaving. And David was rejected by Saul, his mentor. So there's a lot going on right here that I wanted you to see. Now, going back to Jonathan again, he was a warrior, remember that? A soldier. And he loved the Lord. Those key things about Jonathan I want you to see. At this point, already Jonathan was the commander of over 1,000 soldiers. Jonathan was the commander of over 1,000 soldiers when he saw what David did with Goliath. His spirit got connected with him. Another one. Another warrior. I love that. I love to see that. How their spirit got connected. Verse 1. Jonathan became one spirit with David. One soul. How did Jonathan become one spirit with him? Because Jonathan loved the Lord. David loved the Lord. Jonathan was a warrior. David was a warrior. Jonathan was respected by the soldiers, by his fellow soldiers. David was respected by his fellow soldiers. They got connected. He loved him as himself. Question is, what did Jonathan see in David? 1 Samuel 16, verse 18, you can see this. One of the servants answered, "I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the harp. He's a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well, and he's a fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him." See, Jonathan had that connection with him. Now, in the verse 3, Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Wow. In those times, it was very common to do covenants like this, alliance, pact. You know, nation with nations, king with kings, warriors with warriors. They committed themselves to support each other. In this case, Jonathan committed himself, even with whatever consequences is going to happen to him, because knew about David and Saul's relationship. Jonathan said, "I am with you in this." Make a commitment to go over with anything that was happening between them. To defend each other against false accusations, to make a commitment to keep going together amidst any problems. That's Jonathan. He said, "You know what? I am going to do this with you." And then Jonathan gave his robe along with his tunic, just a tunic, and his sword, his bow and his belt. See, two warriors, what he's given to him. Remember, Jonathan and Saul were the only two ones that have a sword. If you go to 1 Samuel chapter 13 and you start reading about that, in this case, Jonathan gave his robe, his royal cloth, to him. his tunic and his sword. Yeah, now, see the picture right here. What David has with him? David has something in his hands with him, like his trophy. And they're talking like this, like two warriors. And Jonathan, sword. I was looking for a sword, but I couldn't find one to show that to you. Sword, that's it. This is my sword to you. This is my bow to you. His weapons, passing that to David. And for me, I saw that. I was thinking, wow, true friendship gives. When you want to really be friend with somebody, to invite somebody into your life, you find a way to give to the other person. In this case, true friendship gives. Jonathan served the other. True friendship does not demand. Their friendship was so strong. They have a close relationship. This might be a result from the empathy they have from each other. Both were warriors. Both have been impacted by Saul's anger and insecurity. This companionship gave them strength and a place to speak truth and find healing and hope. I mean, all the situation happened in their relationship. They cried with each other. And they kiss each other. Now, let me tell you something about this. In the Middle East, the relationship between men is different than our community here, our culture here. You guys get that? The men behave differently in the Middle East. I've seen men walking by hands, holding the hands like this. How many of you have seen that in the Middle East? You've seen that walking, like, take the hands, and the wife in the back. That's not good. Imagine two Dutch men walking like this, taking the hands with the bike in the back. It's kind of weird, right? Right? That's not. What I'm trying to say is the mentality over there is different, and they kiss each other. You know? By the way, I've been kissed for several our Arabic friends and Italian friends. And I used to have an Italian friend in Franklin, Tennessee, that he was running to give me a kiss. I was trying to hide for that man. I was like, no way, I don't want to be with this guy. Because he was kissing me all the time. What I'm trying to say is, they love each other as men. Men need men in their life. And the culture is different than ours, right here in West Michigan. Now, this is the most effective way to experience the powerlessness of shame. When it is expressed, it gets smaller. When we give it words, it weakens. So when you start finding a friend to open your heart, to share your heart with that person, a person you can trust. This week I hear this expression at least 3 times. Friendship is cheaper than therapy. What? This is kind of fun. Because when you start building friendship with somebody else, you start kind of, you know, opening your heart, and you feel better when you are opening your heart, and you start listening to the other person. By the way, I want to recommend a book called Listening for God's Sake. I read a book in 2007 about listening, the importance of listening. So key for us to learn to listen to other people around us. Be sensitive when somebody, or noticing when somebody is in need to listen to us. Or us to listen to them. I want to mention this guy right here. He used to be one of my best friends in my life. He was the, before he knew Christ, he was the president of the urban guerrillas in Venezuela. You know, like a guerrilla fighting against the government. He had this encounter with Jesus, and that he became a disciple of Jesus. And then we became friends. And we became friends, and we started dreaming together. Dreaming like, let's change the world together. Let's do something for the kingdom of God. So I found out, say, you know what? Let's pray together. Let's love each other together. And we were praying together like this. He became a pastor because we found out the best way to change the world is making disciples that make disciples. And they say, I am going to be a pastor too. Okay, you can. And he became a pastor too. And the church was growing until last year he died on the floor, lack of medicine in Venezuela. As you know, the crisis in Venezuela is really, really strong. And for 2 hours, he had a heart attack. And for 2 hours, they couldn't find something to help him. I cried a lot. My best friends died. I don't want to compare myself with David, but when Jonathan died in 2 Samuel, you can see how David was lamenting his friends. The pain of losing somebody that you love. If you have lost somebody, you know what I am talking about. Well, it happened to me. It happened to me. A lot of people have influenced me to the point that I am. A lot of Jonathans in my life, guys. Remember, I grew up without a father. Some of you know that. So the Lord started providing friends to my life. You know, growing up, you know, you can see Golina de Diaz, Efraín helped me to read the Bible, Arnaldo Arenas, Juan Zárate, Chris Donaldson, Neil Páez, Juan Ramón Zárate. I can mention a lot of names that I became friends with, a lot of people. And this one helped me a lot. His name is Dr. Neil Anderson. How many of you don't know Dr. Neil Anderson or hear about him? He wrote about 60 books about helping people to be free. He wrote Victory Over the Darkness, The Bondage Breaker, and he became my mentor in Franklin, Tennessee for about 2 years. And he passed me through a Freedom in Christ appointment. And he passed me for these 7 areas over my life. And I found out that I needed to a lot to grow myself. And that we found out that many of the things that happen in our life are because we do not know who we are in Christ. When we don't know that I am a child of God, when I don't know I belong to Him, that I am temple of the Holy Spirit, that I am friend of God, that I am ambassador of God in earth right here. Come on. So we need to discover who we are in Christ. When we understand that, a lot of things are going to get better. Our emotions are going to get better, especially if you follow Jesus. Now, this application question for you and for us. David and Jonathan share a kindred spirit because of their shared experiences. This common bond of pain resulted in a common bond of strength. They shared their inner feelings and found empathy with each other. How about you? David had Jonathan. Who do you have? Who do you have? Are you experiencing obstacles that are hindering you from going to that person and asking for his or her help? Any fear? Shame, pride? We need each other. We need to really love each other and be sensitive to our own needs around us. This is how the world will know that we are children of God, if we love one another. A lot of us go through temptations in life. Remember, temptation is everything, good or bad, that separates us from the perfect will of God. Guilt, after the enemy first started tempting you. That's his first job. It started with temptation, attracting you. Then after that, he changed his role. Now he say, you see, you did it. You did something wrong. Then you start feeling bad. I did it. Shame. I don't want people to know what I did, what I'm going through. You feel ashamed. You feel discovered. You feel like a bad. Wow. We don't need to wait until something happened to us to find help. Just take the time to listen around you. Praying for this time, the Lord brought me one verse. I want to share that with you in Proverbs. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. The importance about finding a time to tell others, this is what I'm going through. Would you please help me? Or maybe you are a Jonathan. Are you willing to be a Jonathan to others? Who is your David around you that you would like to serve? Are you willing to give your sincere friendship to others? Maybe you went through a difficult experience. Are you open to help others that are going through a similar experience? They say, I want to find a way to help somebody else. And today, there are a lot of ministries and people right here that would like to help you today. There is a marriage night happening in May 17. Take time for your marriage. Take a break and build your marriage. But overall, just come to God and give your heart to Him. Please, let's pray for a moment. Just close your eyes for a moment. Father, thank you for David and Jonathan. Thank you for their friendship. Thank you because they help each other, Father, amidst the circumstances happening. Thank you because we can take the time today to think about our own life. And this morning we confess our sins to you. You know them. Please forgive our sins. Purify our hearts, Father. Clean our minds. Today we renounce to pride, to arrogance. Today we renounce to fear. Today, Father, we renounce to shame, because with you there is not condemnation. Thank you, Jesus, because we're justified by you. Thank you for dying for us on the cross. Thank you for forgiving our sins in this morning. Thank you, Father, for being with us. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen.